that is really going to really be a continuation of our brother Surratt's sermon this morning, and it's the Spirit of God, or that Spirit of Truth that he was talking about. And it's a very broad subject. There's a lot to say about that, and I probably won't get it all in this evening, so there's probably some things that you may think that I've left out. But I've purposefully kind of focused in on just a few parts of it, and that's because I want to stress our need for that Spirit, and that's kind of really what I want to focus on. So I'd like to start on Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 7, and read to verse 12. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit, or that not bringeth forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And indeed, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. I whose shoes am not able or not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with a quenchable fire. And so John the Baptist is talking to those of the house of Israel, those of Judah, who believe they have no need of baptism because they think of themselves as the chosen of God, part of the Israel, part of the nation of Israel. And so he is rebuking them and explaining to them that they need the Holy Ghost and that Jesus Christ is to come and to bring that. And so that's what I want to talk to us about this evening, is that Holy Ghost and that need that we have for it. And in John chapter 16, verse 1, it says, These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of your synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And all these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, and that he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so Jesus Christ is explaining to them that they have a need for this Holy Spirit of God, and that he had to die on the cross to make that sacrifice, that they would be able to receive it. And also that if they did not have that Spirit, they would not be able to receive some of the things Christ had for them. He says here that he can't speak to them about that at this time, because those are things that are to come later in that Spirit of truth. And so we have a great need in our lives to have that Spirit with us. And when Christ sends that to us, it's important that we listen. And it's something that the world cannot receive. And it says here of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so if they have that spirit of contention, that spirit of rebellion, and they're falling under the influence of Satan, then they cannot receive that Spirit that Christ would send to them. It says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And so what the Father has for Christ to show unto us shall come through that Spirit. That is, he is to send. And so there is a great purpose in that. That in that time that we have in this life, that we are able to be taught, that we are able to learn through that Spirit that can only come through Jesus Christ. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is it this he saith unto us, a little while and ye shall not see me again? A little while and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that they shall weep and lament, but the world shall they shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And so what he's talking about is when Christ would make that sacrifice and he would die on the cross, that there would be those that would be joyful in that they would be happy because they would have thought that they have done the work of God, and that they would have rid themselves of the world of this man that was preaching against them. And that in a little while, that sorrow that his disciples would have would be turned to joy because they would receive that Spirit that he is talking about, that Spirit of truth, that Comforter. And so that joy would come to us to know that Christ is always with us and that he is a guide to us, and that Spirit is with us as our teacher to bring us closer to God, to help us that we would follow after our Lord Christ Jesus and also our Heavenly Father. In verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For the joy that a man is born unto the world. And so that is how it was. That when Christ was crucified, and the joy that entered into the world through that Spirit, that sorrow of his crucifixion is forgotten and replaced with that joy and that hope. And ye know therefore, and ye now therefore sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And now in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereunto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so what he's talking about is after that, his crucifixion, we will be able to ask in Jesus' name of the Father. And had Christ not done that, if he had not made that possible, we would not have that joy that comes to us through that Spirit. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show unto you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I come out from God. And I came forth from the Father, and I am come unto the world again. And I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoke to you, that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this is a great gift that Christ has given us, the Spirit of truth, this Comforter. That we understand that God and Jesus are in one. That they are one in purpose, though Christ being his Son and God being the Father, that they are one and the same. And this we can only understand through the Spirit that is given through our Christ Jesus, and witness to us through that Spirit. That is not a mystery to us, but it is a mystery to many. If we go to John chapter 5, verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And so the purpose that Christ has in us is the same purpose that God has. And Christ only does what the Father would desire that he do. And there is no secret thing between God and Jesus. And all things that Jesus does is according to the will of the Father. And so they are in one. In verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And so this word quickeneth, it means much more than just to give life. It means to give the Spirit of God. And so as God can give the Spirit, so can Jesus Christ. And so he can give us that Holy Ghost. He can give us that Spirit of truth. And this can only come one way to us, and that is through Jesus Christ. And it is something that is not intended to go out into the world. It is intended only for those that believe in Jesus Christ and that believe in our Heavenly Father. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So if we believe in Jesus, and we believe, we must also believe in God. And if we believe in God, we must also believe in Jesus. And both are to the same purpose. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to exercise judgment, and also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so Christ is speaking of that time when all will be resurrected, that day of judgment. And it is just like the Book of Mormon. It says the spirit that possesses us when we pass from this life will be the spirit that possesses us when we are resurrected. And this says nothing different. And it says in verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And so that judgment that must be judged is judged according to the will of the Father and also the will of Jesus Christ. And so we are judged according as they have said. The laws that have been given, the prophecies that have been taught, that is how we are judged. And we must have this spirit that's spoken of, this spirit of truth, because the world cannot have it. Those that follow after Satan, those that follow after the worldly things, that go against God, that do not believe in the words of Jesus Christ, that do not believe in the words of our Heavenly Father, they will be judged by those things. And that's not a popular thought these days. It's more popular to say that we can escape judgment somehow because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That somehow that covers a multitude of sin. But yet here we read that we must have this spirit of truth. Here we read we must have this comforter that is sent by Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. And so this is a good lesson for us. This is a good example of how that Holy Spirit works. And it really demonstrates in this lesson to us its worth. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so I see this as a great witness to us, this evidence of their love for one another, that they would do this. This evidence of their trust of the words of Jesus Christ, the trust that they had for our Heavenly Father, that they would do this. And it says here they had much and great grace was upon them. And so this was a wonderful time. And Josie, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Bartimaeus, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back a part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? And so they sought to deceive the Holy Ghost. They knew within themselves that what they did was a deception, and they knew that it wasn't right. And so in the fourth verse, it says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own? Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And so once we have this Holy Ghost, this indwelling of the Spirit, there is nothing unknown unto God. He knows everything that is in our heart and our mind. He knows everything that is in the hearts and the minds of our brothers and our sisters. And so nothing can be hidden. It is the same as it is with God and Jesus. There is nothing hid from Jesus pertaining to his Father, nor is there anything from God pertaining to Jesus Christ. They are one. And if we are to be one with them, this same condition needs to exist. To be one in Christ, to be one in God in us, in Christ in us. We must also have this Spirit of truth, this Holy Ghost. And this was the condition that they dwelt in this time. And you could argue that Ananias and his wife did not truly have the Holy Ghost with them, but I have to take the word of the scripture as it is, and it says it was. It was great amongst all the people. They had much grace with them because of it. And so they chose to try to keep part of it hidden away. They chose to deceive. In verse 5, it says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And so when I read this, I think, did grace save him? He died. It was the lie that killed him. And so that is what we need to be worthy, not worthy of, but to be sure that we are not deceived by that lie. That we maintain that grace in our lives. For they left it and paid the price. And the young men rose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And so they understood. They understood. So this Spirit that comes to us through Jesus Christ, it's important to us. It's necessary. And when I think about this passage, you know, there's many times I hear the question of what is that unpardonable sin? And I believe this is what it is. This is an example of that unpardonable sin. They lied to the Holy Ghost that was given to them by Jesus Christ through his sacrifice on the cross. And they lied to that and abused it. They didn't have an opportunity to repent of it. Or did they? I kind of think about this, and when Peter asked the question. They had the opportunity to answer honestly, and they chose not to. They could have said, "I'm sorry, I lied. That's not really the price. This is what it was." And I believe they would have been spared. I think it's interesting that husband and wife didn't show up together. That the lie that they shared, that they took part in together, they each answered for separately. That they both had the opportunity to repent of it and didn't take it. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself unto them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches at the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. And so this Holy Ghost converted many. And they had the witness of the death of Ananias to the truth of it. And it converted many. It's just a different way of thinking about it. So this Holy Ghost is important to us. We must have that inbiding of its spirit. It must be part of us. We cannot lie to it. And nor can we hide from it. And it is a gift of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, it's the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are they many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, and they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that there in that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath also the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And so we must have that spirit with us, that spirit of truth, that we know who speaks the truth, who brings to us the Word of God, and who does not. And we have that ability within us to judge that, if we will allow that spirit of truth to abide with us, if we will take care of it and nurture it, we will have what it says here in unction. That knowledge, that idea. So it's not something that is withheld from us if we will allow Jesus Christ to enter into our life, if we will follow the commandments of our Heavenly Father, if we will take upon us His name through baptism and have laying on of hands for the reception of that Holy Ghost. We have that promise. And it is what makes us different from any other church. That promise. That recognition of that Spirit. And that it can only come through Jesus Christ. By those having authority given of Christ to do that. In verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So don't let yourself be deceived. Don't let yourself be convinced that there is any other way. In verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. So that anointing that he's talking about is that Holy Ghost. And he's not saying that by saying that you need not that any man teach you, he's not saying that myself or Brother Brian need not teach you, or Brother Buzz, or any of your brothers and sisters that speak through the Spirit not teach you. He's talking in general, that the ways of men not teach you, that the ways of the world that would lead you away from Jesus Christ, they don't need to teach you. Ananias knew he was doing wrong. He knew. For some reason, he thought he could avoid the consequences, and he continued. And he was seduced and led away. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye should abide in him. And so that Holy Ghost, that Spirit, should abide in us, we in Christ, Christ in God, and be as one. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. So we should do what Jesus does, what Jesus said. What we see him do, that's what we should do. And he does nothing except the Father tells him. And so we also do what God the Father tells us. In John chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told kill me, a man hath told you the truth which I have heard of God. Did not Abraham? Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so to have that spirit of truth, we cannot be of the world. We cannot be of the devil or the father of lies. We must be of God, and we must be of Jesus Christ. So many times we can hear people say to us that, why does it matter what church I belong to? Well, are they speaking the truth, or are they deceiving? Because if they're not speaking the truth, they are not of God. And that's a pretty simple way to judge, but it's true. And so that's how we are to judge all things, whether it is of God or whether it is of Jesus Christ. And we have been given that Holy Spirit to help us in that, that we would not be deceived. Jesus was speaking here to those that believed where they were chosen of God, that they were right before God, that they had an inheritance, that they had blessings promised to them of God. And that's very familiar in today's world. Don't all the churches of the world say, come to me and you will find rest, and you will find Jesus Christ, and you will have salvation. And they profess to know the word of God. But do they? Continue on, and ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh judgment. And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. It's not that much different today as it was when Christ walked the earth the first time and taught the gospel and taught the truth amongst the people that believed in lies. And we need to be on our guard always, that we not be deceived. We need to have that spirit of truth with us, that we can understand what is right before our God, that we can understand what Jesus would have us do. Because his desire for us is that we would be saved, that we would not be lost, that we would not be led away and deceived by Satan. And so it's a necessary thing for us to desire that Spirit of God to be with us. It's a necessary thing that we have that baptism. We have that reception of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so we must be able to follow Christ, follow the teachings of God, and have that Spirit with us, that Holy Ghost. In Hebrews chapter 1, first verse, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, and let the angels of God worship him. And the angels he saith, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. O sepulchre of righteousness is the sepulchre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as the virtue shalt thou fold them, as a vestiture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also being bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So, God doesn't change. He has spoken the same thing all down through the ages. And he has sent his Son to bring to us salvation. And we ought to take heed and not to let things slip. Perk up our ears to God. Take the time to study. Do what is right before him. It says here in the fourth verse, it says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. We've had many testimonies in this church, many testimonies of great things that have been done in people's lives. And these things have all been done by the Holy Ghost. And we should take heed that we not forget them, that we remember them, that we understand where they came from and why we have them. I'd like to, for my closing scripture, I'd like to read out of Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not lifted or left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed for this. Excuse me, let me start that verse over. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed for this, which ye now see and hear. For For David is not ascended unto heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on thy right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's not any different for us today than it was for them those many years ago. We need to take heed. Listen to the words. Save ourselves from this untoward generation. The call is to all, whether we are of Israel, whether we are Gentile, whether we are Jew, it is the same promise. So brothers and sisters, please take heed and take care that we not stumble in these days. My prayer is for you, and I hope that you will continue to pray for me.
Thank you, Brother Olson.